direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
In Revelation chapter 1, John is seeing a vision of the glorified Christ on the move. And he has come down to dwell among something. The burden comes out in verse 11 where he speaks, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches that are in Asia." We studied this yesterday, the wings, the noise, the trumpet. The Lord has come down. The Lord is bothered about something. Christ here is appearing as judge. And what we're going to explore today is what was really troubling him as we open up the book of Revelation. This sets the stage for the whole book. You get Revelation 1, you understand everything that's going on in the book. Two twin problems we began to unravel and look at yesterday. Let me rehearse that. These things are addressed in the book of Revelation. John knew that there was a real spirit of enthusiasm for Roman rule. They had consolidated power. Many individuals were economically prospering greatly from what was known as the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. Rome was even called the gift to the world in providing for the people. Peace and security. AD 27 to 180, Rome was the uncontested superpower. Within the borders of the Roman Empire, prosperity prevailed and all sorts of merchants were making a lot of money within this land of peace. And what was encouraged by the Roman government was the total and complete acceptance of Roman ideology as the most powerful nation on the earth, and that faithful subjects to Rome can be economically prosperous. Now remember what the empire was like. It was promoting this kind of message to the people, in which all of the churches of Asia Minor fell. And this sort of ideology, this sort of mentality, was having a devastating effect on the mission of the church. Revelation is going to unmask this lie. You see, you had two options. You could look at Rome through the lens of its own ideology that promotes the peace of Rome, promises of health and wealth and prosperity, a safe and peaceful place to live and prosper. Or you could listen to it as God has defined it from heaven in these visions. There's quite a different perspective here. Christ is really concerned that the Christians have come to trust in Rome. And here we are taken behind the scenes to see heavenly visions that the Roman Empire was bent on conquest and would trample down anyone to ensure its own conquest and victory, to subdue the world, to promote its own prosperity. Revelation is showing us the demonic forces behind the behavior of Rome, symbols which are the beast, which represent the political and military might of Rome, and Babylon is Rome's symbol of luxury and prosperity. Now let me pause and say, any of this sound familiar? The Pax Americana is the same thing. The burden of Revelation, dear listener, is that Christ's kingship in particular is concerned with the witness of his church. And if the churches get sucked into this ideology, if they fall into the path of Babylon, or they begin to think that the Pax Romana, the Roman dream, is what it's all about, they've bought into the lie. And they have become ineffective witnesses to Jesus Christ. Revelation is all about calling the churches to be faithful witnesses to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, if you refuse to hold fast as churches to my witness, if you are living in fear of persecution, or you're living in fear of standing upon the truth, as you waver and become ineffective because of that, you're abandoning what you're called to be, and judgment can fall on your church. See, it's in this connection that he encourages them that if persecution follows, or they suffer loss for their uncompromising stance, they don't have to fear. They are loved by the one who not only has the power to kill the body, but has the power to kill the body and soul in hell. And you see how this platform speaks to us today, doesn't it? We run the risk of buying into the American ideology that promotes a certain kind of life, that makes promises to us, that assures that we have everything. The governments provide for us retirements and security. Christ is unmasking all of this and telling us to look at things from a heavenly perspective. That ultimately, the kingdoms of this world, don't be fooled, they are systems of real political tyranny and economic exploitation. And while we enjoy freedoms in these things, I enjoy many benefits living in the U.S., not contesting that. But I am not fooled to think, dear listener, that America is the savior of the world. That's exactly the kind of stuff I'm hearing in our political debates. And many Christians and many churches have fallen into this. Listen, every kingdom of this world, I don't care what kingdom it is a beastly kingdom, just like all the rest. And Christ has always made it abundantly clear that his kingdom does not belong to this world. If this sounds radical, you have to ask, how quickly and how easily have we been seduced into this thinking? So it's in this setting that Christ appears, but where? Where has he come? To Rome? No. To Caesar? No. Where was Christ concerned to go of all places on the earth to preserve his name? Listen to verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. I want you to think about everything that we've learned in the Bible about the lampstand. What was its purpose? The lampstand sat in the holy place right before the entrance to the most holy place. It had six branches with a center shaft. Remember its purpose? It was to light up the holy place. And the branches were full of buds. And on their end, their wicks burned bright. And the message was clear. The Lord was their light. He was the light of men. And the responsibility of the priest was to watch carefully the wicks, to trim them if needed to ensure that they were shining bright. Now John turns and sees in the vision seven lampstands, and in the midst of them is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is where we have to consider the imagery today for a bit, and we'll look at this tomorrow. What does John see? He says he was clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. What is John seeing? This is not something, dear listener, you can capture in a picture. A picture would never do it justice. These are symbols telling us something of the way that Christ was among his lampstands. What imagery do you have? Think of the symbols for a minute. All of this is taken from the Old Testament. Who wore a garment like this? The priests. But not just the priests. Priest kings. This is temple imagery. And the first thing that comes to mind is what Isaiah saw. Remember in Isaiah 6? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. He was there. And this train poured out over his throne, and the train was so glorious, it filled up every part of the temple. And what we see throughout the Old Testament is that this robe that God wore was describing the blazing glory of God, resplendent glory, awesome brightness of the one who blazes in fire and dwells in unapproachable light. Majesty, radiant beauty. John is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his resurrected glory. And John continues to describe this, that around his waist was a golden band. It's taken from Isaiah 11. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, faithfulness the belt of his waist. He's full of glory. Banded around him is righteousness. And then what? John says his head and his hair were like wool, white as wool, his eyes as a flame of fire. That's not age. You know, fire, when it's different colors, when it's red, it's consuming. When the heat intensifies, it turns a bluish color. But you know what? Do you know fire, the color fire, when it's at its highest intensity, it's pure white. It's beautiful to behold. Here's what you have. You have the same imagery as the burning bush. The purity, the blazing fire of Christ, where Moses, remember, was curious that the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. Who was in the midst of that bush? It was the Lord. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you have here? Christ is on fire in his total purity. His eyes are said to be a flame of fire. The raised Christ here is full of wrath. This is not Jesus on a donkey. In fact, John adds, his feet are like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. Burnished or polished brass doesn't really explain this. Revelation describes an angel who comes down from heaven, has feet as pillars of fire. Same imagery. Christ's feet are burning as if they were in a furnace. They are so hot. They are glowing so bright. The message is very clear. Everything has been put under these feet, and they are coming. They are coming to trample every enemy that stands in his way. They will be crushed by his blazing feet of fire. All of this starting to make sense, dear listener? His voice is as the sound of many waters. It's a terrifying sound, the same voice that shook Sinai. Out of his mouth goes a two-edged sword. His word is the final word. And all of it culminates in John saying his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength, like lightning. Everything we've ever seen in visible theophany, visible appearing and descriptions of God throughout the Old Testament, all of it comes together here and is described in fulfillment to teach us what? Well, this is the framework of Daniel chapter 7. I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was as white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. You know what you have here? You have a vision in Revelation 1 of Christ coming in judgment. And what's his concern? We're going to come back to that tomorrow. Christ's concern is for his church. Christ's concern is that his church has compromised the message. Christ is concerned for those who are suffering persecution, that they become discouraged. And he's reminding everyone, he holds the keys of death and Hades. He is Lord over all. He is the judge. He is the one who holds his church in the palm of his hand. We take comfort. Our Lord is risen. He will judge the living and the dead. And all who believe in him are safe in the palm of his powerful reigning hand. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory. Continue to richly bless you.